Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by the Vacation Planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And if you want top-notch service and the best value for your vacation dollar, visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. Also brought to you by All-Star Vacation Homes, who offer you the highest quality in either a vacation home or condo. Hospitality has a new name, and it's All-Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Judy from Ipswich, Mass., and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 186 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and TouringPlans.com. With me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Hey, running buddy. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well.
We had a fun run. We actually kind of ran half of our run yesterday together. we can't manage to stay together, I guess.
No, and I think we did a show on that before.
Yeah, we were kind of laughing about it, but We ran 4 miles sort of together, mostly together, and then we decided to run separately, and both of us were faster running separately. Yes, I don't know. Go figure.
It was like almost a difference of 2 to 2.5 minutes faster per mile. So
I think we're both just too considerate.
I don't know. I don't want to slow you down. You don't want to speed me up. It's just, either way, we got in a workout.
The best part was afterwards when we stopped and got treats.
Chocolate milk.
And it wasn't, well, no, not for me. It was Italian ice, but from what I'm seeing on the Mickey Milers page, everybody wants cookies. So we didn't get cookies.
Yeah, blame Eddie for that.
So, Mike, I have a shout-out today, and it is to a listener whose name is Leanne Johnson. And you know what Leanne did? Guess.
She went to the moon.
No, no, no. And she didn't juggle torches that are on fire either. She did her first half marathon.
Awesome.
Which was the Biggest Loser half marathon. I believe that was in Charleston.
Wow.
So that's a big feat. And I notice when people post on Facebook or on the Mickey Milers page, there's a lot of people who are doing their first 6 miles, their first 10K, their first 8 miles, 20 miles. So we love to see that. And congratulations to Leanne.
Congratulations, Leanne, and everybody. Just keep in mind that it's summer right now, and please hydrate every day, not just the days that you run, every day. So, Michelle, it's time to do some questions, and ladies first, so why don't you start us off?
Okay. So are you ready for our first question?
I am ready.
It is from our buddy Eric Anderson, and Eric has an interesting idea, and it all has to do with race manners and race etiquette, so I thought we would read it. I think it's actually Dr. Eric Anderson, too. So he says, "Hi, Michelle and Mike. I have a crazy idea. Hopefully not too crazy, but I will let you be the judge and see if it makes sense. One thing I really like about Run Disney races is the infrastructure that they have in place to support runners along the route. One of the components of the infrastructure is trash cans or bags after every water or fuel stop on the courses. Still, though, the water and fuel stop areas tend to get covered with discarded cups, gel packets, and even cartoon-worthy banana peels. Whoop, 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 whoop. What if, as a group, the Mickey Miles podcast listeners resolved to put their refuse in proper containers during races? Not only would it reduce the danger of slipping on discarded stuff or kicking things at other runners, but it might serve as a good example to others, making less work for volunteers. Maybe they could spend more time clapping and cheering rather than raking up trash. I know it can be easier just to drop things on the ground, but is it that much harder to toss them in conveniently located trash cans? Also, I also know that not every race is as well stocked with trash cans as our Run Disney races, but at least when they're there, they seem like they should be used. So Eric is advocating for us to take a little extra time during races, throw those water and gel and banana peels in a trash can. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. What do you think, Mike?
I'm with you on the way, all the way on that, Eric. And I'll tell you that when I'm running a race, when I know it's time for me to have a gel, I wait till I know that there's a water stop coming up. And so I'll take my gel so that I'll have my gel about, maybe a quarter of a mile before the water stop, because I know that there'll be trash cans there and I can discard my gel wrapper. I don't like to see anything on the course. These volunteers work very hard, especially at the Run Disney events. And anything we can do to make their life better, I agree. I think one of the things I hate to see is I hate to see all the cups on the ground. And I remember my first half marathon, Michelle, one of the water stops they had was behind the Magic Kingdom when you went between Splash and Adventureland. And you went back there when you took that right, mm-hmm. There used to be water stops on each side, and they used to give bananas out at that time. And there were banana peels all over the place.
About mile 7, really?
Yeah, wow. It was really crazy. They don't do that anymore, thankfully. But, yeah, I'm with you all the way, Eric. I think, it's just be neat.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there are two issues here. Number one is safety, and number two is, giving less work to volunteers. I will say that for myself, I don't do what you do in terms of gels. I take a gel whenever I need it. But what I do is, because it can get really icky and gooey, I don't throw it away until I get to a trash can, but I fold it carefully so that the top, the sticky part, is inside. So I fold it from the top down and kind of fold it over and stick it in my water belts until it's time. But so one of the things that people could do is, I guess, take water early in a water stop. But if you didn't want to do that and you took your water late, sometimes there are trash cans that are staggered well after the water stop, right?
That is correct.
I guess if you had to throw it to be safe, you wouldn't necessarily be less work for the volunteers. But to hit on one of those points to be safe, you could move over to the side and throw it off to the side.
And I usually wait till the very last trash can, because most of the crowd is gone. So, mm-hmm.
So let's see what we can do, if we could do what Eric says, and just take a little second and think about doing that.
And, you know, for those of you who are on the Mickey Milers running team, if you are wearing one of your shirts and you're doing that, it will look good for all of us.
Yeah.
So keep
you're
that in
representing
mind.
Representing all of us. Great. Yep. Thank you, Eric.
The next letter comes from TJ Fry, who says, Mike, Michelle, I just want to take a minute to thank you for having your Slim in 60 contest. I admit I haven't posted anything on the Facebook page, largely because I'm concerned that I would frustrate people, as by any standard I am by no means overweight, and the prospect of skinny people losing weight can be a lightning rod for some. Regardless, I wanted to lose the 5 pounds I'd put on since marathon weekend. I'm happy to say that as of Sunday, or a recent Sunday, I was down 3.2 pounds, or 2.3% of my starting weight. I believe there are a few reasons I've been successful. First off, I've been more conscious in my decisions about what I eat. For instance, I've reduced the number of sugary snacks I eat, especially the snacking out of convenience opposed to hunger. I've also essentially eliminated cheese from my diet, but that's for other health reasons. I've also increased my running, but as noted before, I'm being more conscious about my fueling for long runs. Additionally, I've started wearing a step counter. I don't have a Fitbit. And have a goal of 10,000 non-running steps a day, which helps me keep moving. Finally, given my competitive nature, having a friendly competition helps as well. Thanks for sponsoring a fun, friendly competition. Signed, TJ. Michelle, we should probably comment about the Skinny and 60 and how well people have been doing.
I think Eddie and I dreamed it up, but you've been posting every week. So should we remind people what it is?
What it was,
because it's over now.
What it was. And basically, we wanted everyone to do whatever they could for a period of 60 days to get healthier, to lose those extra pounds, and having a little competition would have helped everyone. At least we're all in this together, and also sharing how we have been achieving our success.
And accountability, too.
And accountability. Yeah. And we will soon be announcing who lost the largest percentage of body weight, and we'll be having that person come on the show. We'll be announcing that in the future.
Yeah, so we were also lucky that Tara Guidus, the Run Disney nutritionist, was kind enough to pop in several weeks and give us some tips about things that you could do, things like don't skip breakfast, log what you're eating, things like that, I think were really, really helpful. So we'll have that person come on. We're having people tell us how much they lost percentage-wise, and that person will be on to share their tips and how they did it very, very soon.
Yep.
And I would be surprised if we didn't dream up another contest sometime soon.
I agree.
In fact, I know. I'm thinking of one already. Okay. The next question is from Keith Kalmos, and he says, 2 months ago, I started a Couch to 5K program, and I'm nearing the completion of it. That's awesome, Keith. Congratulations. To any doubters out there, and I was certainly one of them, the Couch to 5K programs really do work. I ran 2.5 miles today, and I can tell you that before Couch to 5K, I'd never run longer than a mile in my entire life, and hadn't done any running since college over 20 years ago. That's really wonderful. On to my question. I have been running the Couch to 5K program on a treadmill at a local gym up until now. But my first official 5K is in September at a local zoo, and I wanted to start to do some running outside. Do you have any tips or suggestions for someone like me who has up until now done all of their running on a treadmill? I know that you can get apps for your phone for tracking how far you've run with GPS maps, but how do you plot out your runs before you go? Things have been, in my mind, relatively easy on the treadmill up until now. I haven't had to think about maintaining a pace. The treadmill keeps me on track running at a steady clip. Well, at least for me. I'm currently running a mile in 12 and a half minutes. But I'm going to have to worry about that outside. So Keith is from Elgin, Illinois. So let's take his questions one at a time, shall we? So his first question, Mike, is, any suggestions for someone who, up until now, has done a lot of running on a treadmill? And it really is different when you start to run outside versus running on a treadmill.
Well, one of the things you'll have to adjust to, Keith, is your surroundings. When you're on a treadmill, it's monotonous. It's a monotonous run. You're on the same surface. You don't have to worry about traffic. You don't have to worry about bicycles. You don't have to worry about curves. You don't have to worry about bumps in the road, children running in front of you. There's a lot of things that you will be adjusting to, and I'm sure it'll be fine. It's just like if you're walking. One of the things that you will also notice is that you don't have resistance on a treadmill as you would outside. And by that, I mean it might be windy. There could be some weather issues that might make it just a little bit different than what you've been used to. Other than that, you will be propelling yourself a little bit more. When you're on a treadmill, you are propelling yourself, but you're more than likely like running up and down. So that will be interesting. My suggestion is don't push it. You know, you've got plenty of time between now and September to really get yourself in shape for that 5K. Don't rush it. Don't push it. Take real notice on the conditions when you get out there when you first start running, and you'll be fine. Michelle?
Yep. So I agree with everything that you said. I want to add some things. Another thing that you're going to need to worry about is inclines, hills. Of course, yes. You can do that on a treadmill, but rolling hills up or down can make a big difference, and you should do some practice on hills. And so another thing is other runners. When you're running a race, you're going to be running with other people, at least at the beginning, who are very close to you. You might want to pass them. Mike always recommends that you don't zigzag. You try to stay in a straight line. You're going to want to zigzag because you're going to be faster than some of those people, but try to stay at a steady pace and run your own race. I agree with Mike 100%. You need to take it slowly. I would start by going outside and maybe doing a 1 mile outside run and then slowly increasing till you get to your 5K. Another thing too is sun. Mike mentioned the weather, but you're going to want to make sure that you have a hat, you have sunglasses if you feel comfortable running in sunglasses, and definitely the sunscreen. Mike, anything else?
The last thing I wanted to mention was that if you're running on a treadmill, there is a holder there for water. You will not have a holder for your water, Keith. And so what you may want to think about doing, if you haven't already, is start thinking about if you are going to need a water belt or a hydration belt or a fueling belt to take care of your thirst and make sure that you're hydrated during your run. So a lot of things to consider, a lot of things to practice on before your 5K. So those are a few things, and, you know, I think you'd be fine.
So he's wondering about apps for your phone for tracking how far you've run, and also for plotting out your runs. You could do Map My Run, which I used to use a long time ago. I haven't used it for a while. But if you put in your zip code, you can see that you can see running paths that other people have taken around your area. It will say how long it is, and it may give you a little bit of other information too. But Map My Run is one to use. There's also an app for your phone called Map My Run. There's another one called Map My Ride. In terms of other apps, a lot of people like to use iSmooth Run to track their running, and Zombies Run is always a fun one if you want to run outside with pretend zombies chasing you too, and your own music. But another thing to think about outside, you know, when you're running on a treadmill, you have a holder for your phone to you know, you can stick it in a little pocket just like you did for, Mike was mentioning, the water. But you want to figure out how you're going to hold your phone. Mike likes to hold it on a arm thing. I don't like that at all. I feel like it slips down my arm all the time. I actually use an iPod Shuffle. But, Mike, how do you usually use your phone? You use a phone and a Shuffle, too.
Well, I go back and forth. Yeah. And when I ran with the phone, I would listen to, I'm trying to think of the app. I would just listen to music, and I would...
internet radio
I think,
app.
Yeah, and I think I would listen to... I think I was using Pandora, and there was a fitness channel. So I listened to a fitness channel to help me run. And then I decided I'd just go back to the Shuffle, because sometimes the armband worked and sometimes it didn't. I know that I would get, like...
Right. Well, whatever it is,
whatever.
You want to practice that before you do a race.
Oh, yeah.
And it's different than a treadmill.
Yeah.
Different than a treadmill. Thank you, Keith. That was a great question. Ready for the next one, Mike?
I am ready for the next one. It comes from Justin.
Justin from Everett.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Justin says, I'm wondering if you have any insights into the new Run Disney Packet pickup rules. Specifically, what will happen during marathon weekend when many runners are coming in from cold weather cities? I live in Maine.
Oh, I guess it isn't Justin from Everett.
Maybe he's from
Justin
Everett,
from
Maine.
Justin from Maine. Sorry, different Justin.
I live in Maine and ran the Dopey last year. I flew down on Wednesday because that was all the time I could take off, and was stressed about not getting to the expo in time to pick up my packet. Luckily, I have friends in the Orlando area, and I sent them my waiver and copy of my ID, and they agreed to pick up my packet for me if my flight was delayed. As it turns out, the weather was fine, and I made it to the expo with time to spare, but it was nice having a plan B. With the new packet pickup rules, there is no plan B. It would be such a shame to lose out on the Dopey if my flight lands too late on Wednesday night to get to the expo. Do you think the Run Disney folks will be accommodating if there is weather? Would they allow folks to pick up their 5K bib or their entire packet on the morning of the 5K? Running 48.6 miles is stressful enough. Worrying about now making it because you missed packet pickup for the 5K is just cruel. Any insights you have are greatly appreciated. I love the show. You know, Justin, I can't speak for the Run Disney folks, but I know that John Hughes and his staff are very reasonable. And I know that John goes through great lengths to make sure that they can accommodate everybody. My thought is that because of this new policy, that there will be something set up on the morning of every race for runners to pick up their bibs. I'm guessing. I don't know for sure. But I would hope that they would do that because of the weather issue. I think that the weather factor comes into play for a lot of us during that time. There are a ton of people who come from the Northeast to go down to Orlando to run in January. So there are a lot of people who are affected by that. Even the Midwest. We had friends in the Midwest. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that what Michelle and I have suggested to everyone is that you may want to play it safe and book your flight the day before you would actually originally plan to be there, just in case. So this will be an interesting thing to watch in January. Michelle, your take.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because what Justin is saying is that he doesn't have any time that he can take off from work to do this. And right. I don't remember the timeline of when they initiated this, if it was before people had signed up for the Dopey or after. So I think if it was after, there's going to have to be some latitude in terms of packet pickup. I think, Justin, that a lot of people share your concerns. People are going to be very stressed out. I think Run Disney is going to be inundated with questions. We've invited John Hughes to come on the show again. Hopefully he'll come on and we can ask him this question. But I think in the long run, if they're very strict about this policy, that people are going to opt not to do these races. They're going to do conservatively what they can, you know, guarantee that they're going to be there to pick up their packet. However, I think that, you know, if you're coming from Maine and there's been a snowstorm and you have a legitimate reason for why you weren't there, I can't imagine, out of kindness, that Run Disney wouldn't cut you some slack and say, you know, we'll give you your packet race morning. I don't know. I think this is something that's still an open question. We have to kind of see how it plays out. And we'd love to hear in the fall as these races come and into January, we'd love to hear reports from listeners about their experiences. I hope, Justin, that you're able to get there in time. Do you remember the timeline, Mike?
I think it was before the the registration opened, because there was a statement that was sent out after they had made the original announcement on the policy and said up to a certain race. I think it was,
I want to say it was Wine and Dine, maybe?
It was okay, but after that, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, my thought about this was that I think that what they wanted to do is they just wanted to deter a lot of people who were doing this a lot. And they want to, and maybe also cut back on people who are transferring their bibs.
Yeah, I think that's the primary thing.
But so I think that I really think that there will be something on the morning of the race that you can pick up your bib, but you can't pick up anyone else's bib.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it from Run Disney's point of view. If it's 26,000 people in and 1% of the population of the race is doing this, that's a lot of people to have to accommodate. And I have seen disagreements with volunteers, and the volunteers are put in the position of bad cop there. So I can see it from both sides, but hopefully, Justin, the weather will hold out. We won't have the New England weather we had last year, and I know some of our friends from Illinois got stuck too. They had to drive down. They were in a panic. So, all right, and is this the last question, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, last question is from Cindy Acey. And she said, actually, she's giving some information. Hi, Mike and Michelle. I heard on a recent podcast on how to save money, and one of the things you mentioned was early registration for Disney Visa cardholders. Since I am a charter cardholder and have only seen early registration perks once that I can definitely remember, I thought that I would email Run Disney to see if it was indeed offered. Unfortunately, the reply that I received is that the perks are only offered on an event basis. Thought I would pass this along if you haven't already been deluged on the clarification on this subject. See you on the road. So it sounds like you can't count on it, and we really do appreciate that, Cindy. So you can't count on that discount if you're a Disney credit card holder.
I think, Michelle, that what Cindy is telling us, it reminds me of something that goes back a long way, and that is that regardless of what policies are, you can never depend upon them to be that the next day. Disney has been known to change policies in a moment's notice, and so whatever has been in the past may not be so in the present and in the future. So,
but we were giving money-saving tips, so we can say it's worthwhile to see if you have that perk on an event basis, event-by-event basis. But you can't guarantee, you can't plan on it.
Right. The caveat is always, you know, check before
it's usually $10. So it's not going to break the bank if you're planning on taking that trip anyway, but every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps.
Thank you, Cindy. And if anybody else has clarification or more information on any information that we're giving out here, we really appreciate you taking the time to write in. I think that's it for the mailbag.
That's it for the mailbag, and we want to thank everyone. And we want to remind everyone that if you have a question, don't send it to Michelle or myself personally, because it may take a while for us to get it into the queue. Please send it to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we will get to it as soon as we have enough questions to put together a show. So,
and we want to thank our question person, who is Alex Armas, who coordinates all the questions for us and saves us bunches of time.
You kind of call him Double A.
Yeah. Double A?
Double A, Alex. That's, so from now on, you're Double A. Double A.
And one of the nicest people in the world.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So for our Double A, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, thanks for the questions, keep them coming, and we'll see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes. If you are looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Walt Disney World vacation, then you need to visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home. And by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, visit them at MEI-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at MickeyMilesPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.